Over 80 years ago, a new religion was founded with the name Cao Dai in the country of Ao Lạc or Vietnam, and has quickly grown to become the third largest religion in this country. Cao Dai recognizes the ultimate goal of all true religions is the same: to teach humankind to live peacefully and compassionately with all sentient beings, and to realize our divine origin. The term Cao Dai literally means supreme palace, referring to the palace where God reigns over the universe, and was also the name God used to impart his divine instruction in the creation of Cao Dai. Followers of Cao Dai believe that Venerable Ngô Minh Chư was chosen by God to establish the Cao Dai religion. It was believed that God directly transmitted the teachings and method of practice to Venerable Ngô Minh Chư until he attained the ultimate self-realization. Today, we present excerpts from the Cao Dai Holy Scriptures, the collection of divine messages, and the true teaching of the Great Vehicle Scripture.
Collection of Divine Messages in 1969, The Method of Self, Cultivation and Spiritual Practice. Those who set their mind to spiritual practice and put all efforts into attaining liberation will sooner or later achieve their goal. It's just that people often do it for appearance's sake. In tandem with spiritual practice, they also covet social status, fame and wealth. Those are the bad karmas, or retributions, which drag them into the cycle of reincarnation. Good and bad fortunes, joy and sorrow in this present life are not due only to the karmic consequences of this life, but also due to the debts from the previous life. A spiritual practitioner who wishes to attain liberation must perfect himself in all aspects in order to repay old debts and not create new ones. He must also build a lot of merits for the future life.
Spiritual practitioners often encounter obstacles on their spiritual path, such as physical difficulties, disasters, ailing family members, poverty. While ill, some would not be able to keep the vegetarian diet because doctors would tell them to follow a regimen that isn't vegetarian, etc. Those are the obstacles on the spiritual path. However, not all spiritual practitioners encounter such unfortunate situations. Based on their perception, people thus labeled it good or bad luck in this world. More accurately, everything that happens to us is unresolved bad karma or retribution created from our last lives. Thus, from the beginning, a spiritual practitioner should remember the following 4 points to create favorable conditions for his spiritual endeavor.
Sacrifice. The spirit of sacrifice is to offer everything that belongs to us for others' benefit. We sacrifice from the little things to the big things. For example, we sacrifice our taste indulgence in alcohol and meat to avoid harming the animals that are in need of life. We give up the bitter speech that brings pain and disgrace to people during conflicts of opinions and anger. We don't pursue legal proceedings against others, causing bankruptcy for our own interest. We sacrifice all selfish pleasures and wasteful luxuries to help the homeless and the destitute. To possess the sacrifice virtue means we have created good karma or retribution, which helps erase the bad karma or retribution from previous lives. Each time we sacrifice, there is bound to be a struggle between selfishness and selflessness, but we must strive to overcome it, and we will be blessed with an inner peace and enlightenment.
Serve others. Serving others doesn't mean in just the physical aspect, but more in the spiritual aspect within the confines of self-knowledge and forgiveness. That means we try to find all possible ways. We make use of all opportunities to explain through spiritual teachings and moral values to awaken people toward the path of truth. The service of others does not discriminate against skin color or race. All beings come from the same source, all created by God. Serving others will also increase spiritual merit.
Charity. The concept of charity here is to bring our actions, speech, and moral principles into practice in daily life. Treat others in ways that truly reflect kindness, filial piety, loyalty, integrity, and righteousness. Do charity in every aspect of daily life. Serving others is serving ourselves. Helping others is helping ourselves. Doing charity also builds spiritual merit and sets a bright moral example for others, encouraging them to do the same.
Establishing position. Establishing position here doesn't refer to establishing a position in this ephemeral realm. That would comprise all three areas mentioned previously: sacrifice, serving others, and charity. We perform those without ego, greed, and anger, motive, and without wanting something back. We do all the good deeds. The more good deeds we do, the more we should be humble and reject all worldly praise. Establishing our position doesn't mean we desire to become saints or Buddha, because these will come naturally. It means we wish only to help with God's work, to serve God's will with a pure heart and without intention, yet a divine rank is readily bestowed upon those who deserve it. I'd like to remind you once more. Do not worry that your spiritual practice won't result in the attainment of the Tao or reach the ranks of the saints and Buddhahood, but fear only that your virtue and merits are not worthy of those spiritual positions.
The true teaching of the great vehicle scripture. Meditation and Samadhi. What spiritual practitioners need the most is meditation in order to understand the sublime truth of the Creator. Besides being born a human, one needs to know the origin of humankind, such as where did humankind come from? Why do humans exist? Why are we constantly entangled in the cycle of reincarnation? Why do we enter this suffering world to endure a life burdened with worries, hardships, sorrow, and grief? If we ask ourselves just those things and make every effort to get to the end of the matter in order to realize the truth, then that method is called meditation. Without meditation, how can you activate your wisdom in order to understand the mysterious divine science? To meditate, you must first focus on a lofty concept. Then contemplate deeply on that elevated thought, and wisdom will automatically come. At that time, the truth will reveal itself clearly.
Heaven has already bestowed upon humankind a special divine essence from the moment they are reincarnated in this world. Humans need to borrow the physical body to experience all the earthly aspects in order to gradually become more enlightened and progress continuously on the spiritual path. It's true that the world is full of suffering, but this world is a school for all creations. It is due to this school that all beings become wiser and nobler. As human beings, we need to learn in order to develop our intelligence, to discern the good from the bad, to understand right from wrong so that we can avoid creating sins. All the things happening before our eyes are good and useful lessons for us, be it good or bad, joyful or sorrowful. Whatever is noble, good, and pure, we should use it as an example to retrain ourselves. Whatever is bad, ignoble, and cruel, then we should view it as a mirror to reflect on and change our character. There is nothing in this world that is useless. Whether it's beneficial or not depends on our knowledge of how to make use of it.
Though a spiritual practitioner does not study history or books of literature, he still can thoroughly understand the truth about life. It is due to deep meditation that his wisdom develops and helps his soul to see and grasp things quicker. Therefore, even without studying from books, one still realizes things automatically. Therefore, what spiritual practitioners need the most is meditation in order to understand the natural unfolding of creation, to thoroughly grasp the nature of nothingness, and then they will realize that life is just an illusionary dream. All things that exist on earth must soon disintegrate and change, just like the dissolving mist and drifting clouds. Therefore, life is never permanent. Realizing that, human beings will make up their mind, determined to detach themselves from this false realm to search for the truth, so that they can escape from the suffering world.
But for meditation to be fruitful, we must try to enter samadhi. Samadhi is to help the mind become peaceful, to see and correct ourselves, to rid our body of deep-rooted sickness, and to eradicate the 7 emotions and 6 desires that disturb us day and night. Then we keep our mind focused, don't let it think about nonsensical and bad things. We must strive to continue to practice until our thoughts are pure and lofty, and we must nurture that ideal forever. Don't let external matters creep in and create chaos in our heart. Once we reach that point, we will turn our attention within so that we see, but it's as if we don't see. We hear, but it's as if we don't hear. We know, but it's as if we don't know. We do not concern ourselves with any worldly matter. If you reach that state of samadhi, your meditation will bring extraordinarily wonderful results, because each time you sit to contemplate on a matter, all organs in your body will gradually become restful, and so you can listen to the true teaching.
The Dharma Guard Lecture at the Divine Temple, Attaining Enlightenment. Since the beginning of time, God had already established a true law, the eternal and divine way, so that human beings may follow to advance into the ranks of deity, saint, celestial being and Buddha. If we progress, we will achieve the ultimate enlightenment, and if we regress, we will fall into the rank of the devils.
All religions have established many precepts, but the wise are few, while the ignorant are many. So these precepts can't be carried out fully. However, God's true law isn't much, mainly just love, so that everyone can practice regardless of their social status. Even small species, termites, bees, ants, also know to keep the law of love and harmony, resulting in a group that unites and assists one another, creating orderly homes. That is the animal's rapid way to evolution.
In regards to family, there are fathers and children, husbands and wives, siblings, extending further to social communities and fellow countrymen. All due to the law of love, in order for all to coexist peacefully and prosper. If we do not abide by this true law, we are unworthy to be a human being. Not only can we not evolve into the eternal and divine realm, but on the contrary, we create a competitive and vengeful arena that causes love to deteriorate to trivial arguments, which brings about bad karmic consequences.
God's love for humankind is boundless, immeasurable, and indescribable. For example, in a family, when parents see their children in poverty or distress, then we know how much parents love their children. And in this world, everything from matter, plants and animals to human beings, all are children of the Creator. Then you know how immense and infinite is God's love. The amount of pain and suffering that sentient beings endure here is equal to the agony that God would suffer.
God established the true law of love, and God has compelled me to put it into practice first. Thus I said, I suffer your pain even before you lament. I shed tears for you even before you cry. The day that all of humankind learns to love in the right way, that is the day they will escape from suffering. In summary, human beings and all creations evolve through the law of love into the ranks of deity, saint, celestial being, Buddha, to become one with God. That is called attaining enlightenment. Thus I said, love is the key to open the door to the white jade scripture, which means attaining enlightenment.
We enjoyed your company today for Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, coming up next after noteworthy news. May your life be endowed with God's blessing, love and light.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.